the long-awaited day. After many, many months of preparation, Klal Yisrael involved in donating and in building and in preparing for the Mishkan. Vahi b'yom ha-shmini, and it was on the eighth day. Sacrifices were given, especially for this occasion, to bring down the fire. Aaron raised his hands toward the people, blessed them. Then he descended from having performed the sin offering, the elevation offering, and the peace offering. Moshe and Aaron came to the tent of meeting, and they went out, and they blessed the people, and the glory of Hashem appeared to the entire people. And as the Mefarshim point out in Source 1b, why did they enter the tent of meeting? Rashi, quoting the Sifra, offers two alternatives. Moshe was teaching Aaron the procedure of burning the Ketoret, or when Aaron saw the Shechina had not rested upon the tabernacle, despite the long inauguration service, he was distraught and blamed himself, saying, I know that Hashem is angry with me because of the sin of golden calf, and because of me the Shechina didn't come down. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no. And they davened together, and the Shechina came down. And here is this awaited moment. A fire went forth from before Hashem, Pasuk Kaf Daled, and consumed upon the altar, the elevation offering, and the fats. The people saw and sang glad song and fell upon their faces. Fire comes down from heaven. It consumes the offerings, and the people see this. They fall on their face, and they sing, right? Vayaronu, they sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know, and this Rav Munk brings down, according to the Talmud, the heavenly fire brought with its five miracles. It seemed crouched over the altar majestically like a lion. It was dazzling as the sun. It was a solid substance. It consumed both dry and wet materials, and it was without cloud. There was something majestic, something special about this fire that came down from heaven. We have one question for today. And that question, Rav Shvadron asked in Lev Shalom. Aleinu Lavim Litbonein, source number 2. Ma'u inyan ha-gadol hazeh? If we could put it in our own language, what's the big deal? Harei l'chora dvorim elu shogilu yashchina. Vashras hashchina hayu tmidim kesidram. For the people to be able to see the glory of God was something that was usual. Kriyas Yamsuf, Zeke Levan Vehu, Maman Arsinai, Atareis, Ladat, Keshem, Elohim. They saw Hashem. They this was something regular for them. They were surrounded by the miracles of Hashem. Umenachal Kamatova Shel Bnei Israel. They had Nisim Gluyim Yom Yom. They had miracles every single day. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, what was Ma Ra'u Kan Shelo Ra'u Ad Hena? What do they see now that the response of the people is so overwhelming? Vayiplu al Pneihem, they fell on their faces. Vayaronu, they sing after Hashem. What's going on here that makes this experience something that's unique, something that's very special? And that's the question we're going to try to analyze. And again, with a bit of a focus, if we can, on our everyday lives as well. So I'd like to offer three aspects of looking at this, and we'll have a secondary question, which is second and third level, we'll respond to. And that secondary question we'll just make mention is in source number 8. The Avodah Avodah points out in the asterisk, Gam kvarom duam afarshim leva'er mashid smicha katuv parshas machlos asuros achar parshas yom ha-shmini lemiluim. Maya shaychut shel shtei parshiyot elu zu lezu. Parshas Shmini only has two topics in it. It has the topic of this inauguration, again, the story of Nadav Avihu, that very tragic story, but it's all of the day of the inauguration. And the second part of Parshas Shmini is about what foods you're not allowed to eat, machlos asuros. So the obvious question is, why are we linking the two of them together? What is the common denominator between both? That in the Parsha of the inauguration, we have the foods we're allowed to eat and the foods we're not allowed to eat, and that also needs to be explained. And again, Rish Hashem, on level 2 and 3, we'll see that, and we'll really see that level 2 and 3 are really two sides of the same coin, which are part of the coin of level number 1. Fire, fusion, forgiveness, and fruition. Let's start with fusion. very beautiful idea that the Ben Melech of Minsberg points out in source number 4. He says, "Vayhi b'yom ha'shmini l'miluim yom bo hukam ha'mishkan l'kvius." This was the first time that the Mishkan is here in a kavuba way, in a way that's going to be here for good, so to speak. "Vayikriv l'rishana korbanot Aaron v'korbanot shel Yisrael al-gabei mizbeach." Sacrifices of Aaron, the sacrifices of the Jewish people, from all different types of sacrifices, and the people are very taken by this. Vayar kol am vayaronu vayaplu apneihem. And he says the response is a very interesting response. You have rinana, which is song, and vayaplu apneihem, they fell on their faces. That's usually a sign of pacha, of a certain type of fear, a certain type of awe. And those, he says, are two different types of emotional responses, right? On the one hand, they're singing, and on the other hand, there's almost like this trepidation that they fall on their faces in awe and fear. And he says, how do we reconcile these, what seemingly seems to be two different emotional responses? So Rav Mintzberg points out, very, very fascinating, he says there are really three times that we find a fire comes down in the history of the Jewish people at this point. And each time it comes down in a slightly different way. Time number one was at the Sne. We have by the Sne, by the burning bush, that Madu lo yivar Sne, that the fire came down, but it didn't consume the bush, even though the bush was made of thorns. Vasne nerukal, the bush was not burnt. The second time was by Har Sinai. By Har Sinai, it says in Source 5, "Ahar Sinai Ashan Kulo Mipnei Asher Yirad Alav Hashem Ba'esh." The mountain was consumed with smoke because Hashem came down in fire. So we have two types of fire that are found so far in the history of the Jewish people. The fire of the Sne, which is a fire that did not consume, and the fire of Mamad Har Sinai, which was a fire that did consume. What's the difference between these two fires? So he notes that the first fire, in source number 6, Har Esh HaRishona, Shibetzne Haita Esh Elokit, it was a divine fire, and we obviously know it wasn't a natural fire, hence Moshe Rabbeinu hides his face. And this was a fire that was to tell the Jewish people, Haita Itgalut LaMoshe Rabbeinu Ki to tell the people, to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, to redeem the people. This, he says, laharod abechinat rachamim v'chasadim. This was a fire of love. This was a fire to tell Moshe Rabbeinu that I remember Klai Yisrael, Bnei Bechor Yisrael, they're my firstborn. I want to redeem them. So the fire, which was a fire that came down, showing the divine presence, kifyacho, was a fire ever that did not consume, because the focus of this fire was a focus of love, was a focus of concern, was a focus of attention. While the second fire, Omnama Eisha'al, however, the fire that was on B'matantara, Hofat Hashem Haita B'matara La'atil Aleinu Et Chofat Avodato Yifarach Shenekayim Zerotav. However, the fire at Mamad Har Sinai was a fire to teach us we better do the will of God. It was a fire of Kabbalat Omochut Shemayim, and therefore Hashem came down with an all-consuming fire Be'emo Be'ira, with this awe, with this fear. And hence, Ki Hashem Elokecha Esh Ochlahu Kelkana. This fire is described as a fire that consumes. This is a fire to know that it's not just the God who cares, who's concerned, but doesn't consume. No, there is reward and punishment. There is a Kabbalah's all. There is a requirement to do the will of God. And Mamad Har Sinai comes down, the fire with a fire that consumes, a fire of Ashan, a fire of smoke. Now we come to our fire. Well, the first fire was a fire of Chesed, and the second fire was a fire of Gvura, of kindness, and then of strength. Our fire is the Bechina of Tiferet. It's a mixture, it's a fusion of both of these fires. Source 7, Amnama Eish Al Marachai Eish Ashlishi, Sheba Ra'u Hanagat Memuzege Bechina Mida Tiferet. On the one hand, it's an Eish Ochelet. On the one hand, it consumes the offerings. It is like that fire, Mamad Har Sinai, and hence there is this aspect, The Jewish people fall on their faces. There is this yiras hakavod, this awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, there is this aspect of feeling Hashem's presence, that Hashem is going to be with the people. Where there is an esh ochelet b'ratzo, that Hashem is consuming the sacrifices, is a sign that He has accepted with favor the Jewish people's appeal of closeness to God. And that response, on the one hand, the sacrifices are consumed. On the other hand, you feel this, that in the consumption itself, there's a tremendous amount of love. Hence the response of Vayaronu, Vayiplu Alpaneihem. And that, my friends, is what makes this experience so special. Where Klal Yisrael have seen the chesed of Hashem, they've seen the gvura of Hashem, but to be able to see the mixture of the two, to be able to see at the very moment that Hashem accepts the sacrifices, that the very moment that the fire consumes, that's a moment of favor. That mixture of the two was unique for the Jewish people, and hence they fall on their faces. And that, my friends, is very much for our lives a model of what tefillah is about. Tefillah very much is a sign, and there's one of many languages of tefillah. Tefillah is a time of favor. It's a time of rachamim. It's a time of mercy, where we're able to turn to Hashem and come close to Hashem. At the same time, tefillah comes from the word pei lamed lamed, palel, which is the idea of judgment, where we judge ourselves whether we are worthy, and our tefillah is being judged whether it's worthy to be accepted or not. And that dynamic makes tefillah so special. On the one hand, we sing a lot of our tefillah. On the other hand, we have to stand in our tefillah be'emo be'yira, with a certain amount of awe that we're standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But we can't be ba'atzvos, you can't be sad when you're davening. There has to be that mizug, there has to be that mixture, that when I come in front of Hashem to make my request, it's coming in a pleading, begging type of way. It's coming in, so to speak, a fearful type of way. Will it be accepted or not? And at the same time, coming in front of the Adon HaKol, who we know is merciful, who wants to, he shomei tefillah, karav Hashem l'chol karav l'chol sheyifru be'emes, those who call out in truth, those who call out with earnestness, are responded with positivity. And it's that balance that this experience reflects. That's idea number one. Idea number two is the avoda. We'll start with the avodas avoda. Rav the Tusha Rabbi Zata. Vahi b'yom Shmini Tanya source 8. Also a yom haita simcha lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu ki yom shnivru bo shamayim v'aret. The joy vahi, the joy on this day was akin to the joy of the creation of heaven and earth. It uses the word here vahi, and it was vahi er vahi boker, echoing back to the first day when Hashem created the world, and it was a tremendous day of simcha for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was the simcha? Because in source 9, B'sha'ash Shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu et Ha'olam, when Hashem created the world, Nis'aveh She'elo Dira B'tachtorim, Hashem wanted to live down here. V'hainu ki tachli b'riyas ha'olam ha'ita, the whole reason Hashem created the world was that He should reside in this world. And indeed, when we came to the experience of Mamad Har Sinai, we came back to that level of Adam Arisha before the sin. We came back to that height of Hashem being able to reside in this world. And hence, we have the idea of building the Mishkan, Vasuli Mishkan, Vashachanti B'tochem. According to those Mefarshim that say the Torah is in order, that Hashem, as Ramban points out, wanted a mini Har Sinai in the Mishkan. And there's a lot of parallels between the two, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to reside among us. Aval, source number 10, we sinned. The Chet Ha'ega was a time we pushed Kivyachol Kadosh Baruch Hu away. Aval kol zman shebnei Yisrael adayin lo nizkaku mechet ha'egel adayin lo yavshar shetishrei shechina betocha. As long as they still have the stain of the taint of the sin of the chet ha'egel, of the sin of the golden calf, it was impossible for them to have the shechina, the divine presence, rest on them. As Chazal tell us, Yevamos, ein adam dar im nachash b'kvifa achat. A person can't live with a snake in one place. And the snake obviously represents the primordial sin, the sin of the Chida, Eitz Hadat, v'chule. And that's it. Umcheita egel dom squiggly harichas ral bnei Yisrael zumat hanachash shepaska mehem beimatan Torah. The original sin of the taint of the original sin of the snake came back to Jewish people when they sinned with the Cheita Egel after reaching that pristine level of the Mamet Har Sinai. So even though it might have been a temporary measure that Hashem would come down to the Mishkan, what Klal Yisrael wanted was a permanent closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that could only be once HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave them for their sin. So therefore, all of these korbanos, in of source 11, Sifa Gatuv Lakriba Yomahu et Seder Korbanos on Nemar Parsha, all of these korbanos, or many of these korbanos, found at the beginning of our Parsha, Shekorbanot Halalu Bao Lechaper Livnei Yisrael Avona Egel. These were specifically in order to atone for the sin of Cheta Egel. That's why it says, Kach Lecha, source number 11b, next page, Egel Ben Bakar Lechatat, take a calf as a sin offering. And Rashi points out, Lo Diash Mechaper Lecha Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yidei Egel Zeh, Amasei Egel Shasta. Aaron is told to take this calf to be able to be assured that Hashem forgave him for the sin of the Egel Hazah. So now, my friends, we understand what's going on here. Aaron brings the korban, and he's waiting for the Shechina to come down, and the Shechina doesn't come down. And Aaron, a Kohen, as well as we'll see, the people are thinking to themselves, "Oh my gosh, can't dine in source 12. Lo nitkaper la mavona eka bekapara ruya. They haven't been forgiven for the sin of the golden calf. V'chein atche b'nei Yisrael lo ra'u shekorbanotem nikablu l'ratzon. Adayin lo samchu kach b'zeshin galel lamor Shechina. It wasn't enough that Hashem is going to come down. What they're looking for here, what makes them so excited, answering our original question, what is so unique about this that excites the people, it's not just the presence of Hashem. They felt the presence of Hashem many times. What the excitement here is the excitement that their sin has been forgiven. That was the core. Klal Yisrael realized how far they had been from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They realized the effect of their sin. Vayitablu. They mourned. They realized what they did was wrong, and what they wanted was some type of sign from above that their sin was forgiven. Vayaronu, the Rina, the Simcha, the Shira of Klal Yisrael here was a Shira, a song of appreciation, of thankfulness that Hashem had forgiven them. And that was what was so special here. This explains us well, and this is a very beautiful idea to keep in mind for the davening for Shavuos Mirtz Hashem, source 13. This is also the idea of a Naflua Panehem, that they fell on their faces. Not only did they sing, they also fell on their faces. Why this response? So there's a beautiful idea of the Baal HaTanya. We say on Musaf, on the Shlosh Regalim, we say the following. U'mipnecha ta'enu galinu ma'arteinu. Because of our sin, we have been exiled from our land. Ve'enanachvi yucholim la'alov v'le'ra'ov l'ishtachavot l'fanecha. We therefore aren't able to go up, aliyah l'regel, to be seen by Hashem, and to bow down from Him, and etc. Now, I understand we can't go up la'alof le'ra'ot, but what about l'ishtachavot? We do bow down, albeit we can't bow down the Beis HaMikdash, but we do bow down on Yom Kippur. We do have this ishtachavaya. So explains the Baal HaTanya the following, in the Aaron 14. Ki ha'ishtachavaya b'Beis HaMikdash b'shlosh regalim, lo hayta ishtachavaya chitzoni b'evrei ha'guf levad. When Klaiso would bow down on the three pilgrimages, it wasn't just a physical act, an external act of bowing down. It was an inner bowing down. They felt the presence of Hashem, Bisgalus Gedola Kolkach, with such intensity, Achenitraplu in the dot. They like melted from the experience of closeness to Hashem, and they fell down almost. That was the result. It was like automatic. When they felt the greatness of Hashem, their only response could be, like Avraham Avinu, when he feels Hashem's presence, to fall on your face. The Koach HaBitul in 15 Hazen, Nishar Chakuk, the Libopan Yisrael, Miregel Arekel. That feeling of like totally giving in to the presence of Hashem, realizing there's nothing about me, bowing down is being able to have total bitul, total nullification, that lasted them from one Regel to another. Shebekoach Zeh Hayah Bekochem Levatel Kol Ritzono V'Taivos Gufam, and had the ability to overcome any taiva, any desires that they had, because they realized so clearly it's about Ritzon Hashem. They were able to access that Nekuda Pnimit. So therefore, we understand what we say in Davening. Lira'o v'lihishtachavot in yanacharu. It's one and the same. To be able to feel Hashem's presence, to be able to be seen and to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that then leads to lihishtachavot. The seeing wasn't just seeing, it was experiencing the Shechina. The result was bowing down, and that's what we are missing today. We don't have this. And this explains what we say in Aleinu every day, a few times a day. We talk about in the future, we daven that we should be able to see soon the Tiferet Uzecha, the glory of Hashem's strength. We will be able to bow and fall down. I know. But when we feel, when we see, when we experience the greatness of Hashem, the Or HaShechina, then we will too will have the same reaction. And that's the Tachlis HaBriya. That's the point of creation. To be able to feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present. Kulam Yakiru Gadluto Yisparach. That's the moment they felt at the when the fire came down at the inauguration, they felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had forgiven them. They felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence was so powerful in their midst, which is, again, going to segue us soon to that third level. And that's the Tachlis HaBriya. That's the whole point of creation. It's all about Hashem, where there's that nullification. It's not just a shira, not just a song. It's Vayiplu al Pneihem, and that is what we long for. Yichru v'yipolu. In the future times. Now, when we understand this, we can appreciate in 17, why is the parasha machlos asuros the next parasha? Ki kemoshe b'mishkan Hashem lo haya afshar shitgale kvod parach, shchinato yiparach rech achar shbenei son yitkapru mezum archei taikam. Just like Hashem's presence could come down until they were forgiven for the sin of the Chet HaEgel. Ke'en Adam Dar, Im Nachash B'Kfifa Achad, K'mokei B'chol Adam HaPratiyot. Likewise, individually, Hashem wants to rest His Shechina on each and every one of us. However, we must be purified. Sharei Kol Adam Tzarich Lasot Dira L'Shechina B'toch Libo. A person has to make their own heart a repository of the Shechina, Beis Mikdash Ma'at. And the only way to be able to be that receptacle is a person has to purify themselves. And one of the major ways to purify themselves is Yishmor Atzmo Shelo L'Tamot Nafsho B'Machlos Asurot U'Bishkotzi V'Rasi. By eating creepy, cruelly things, you bring in, again, eating is something that we spoke about at length, it becomes part of your blood, becomes part of the nature of who you are. When one eats things that aren't bugs that aren't checked properly, one has within them, and all the food that's not kosher, one creates a barrier. Tuma is from the word Aramaic of satum, of blocking. You're blocking the Or HaShechina from coming down. So this is what we're talking about here. When we're talking about that we want to bring the Shechina down into our homes, so the second part of the parasha tells us one of the key ways to ensure that the Shechina can get down into our homes, and that is by being careful what we eat, because the food that we eat becomes part and parcel of our blood, of who we are. Ki adamu anefesh, the blood is the life force of a person, and hence we have to be very careful that we don't block that Or HaShechina from coming down. I just had this recently. I was speaking to a young lady who's going through a tremendous amount of challenges in life, and she came across in this over hour conversation with a lot of real harsh criticisms, klapei Shmaya, towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And it was a very gripping conversation as my daughter and son-in-law were here. Just it was a Zoom conversation. They just heard like the first 5-6 minutes. They were here walking out, so they just overheard this first part of the conversation. My son-in-law said he has never been so shaken walking out of our house, except when the first time was hearing this conversation. Like he said, like, how do you deal with this? And I didn't answer him. But over the course of this conversation, one of the things that this young lady was saying is that, you know, bug checking, who needs that? And I'm not defending her or commenting. I am commenting. And it just came to my mind so clearly that she was talking about she eats this food and that food and she doesn't really care about the bugs and, you know, rabbis and bugs. And I'm thinking to myself, there is a correlation between the beginning of the conversation and the middle of the conversation. If you don't really care about the bugs you eat, then it helps explain why you have such a aversion to being able to bring spirituality into your life. You've almost created a catch-22 that you on the one hand, you sort of want to bring God back. Well, this is a place to start. And sometimes we think, like, what's the correlation? So you eat whatever it is. And the answer is, this is what the parsha is talking about, this correlation. I will just make mention before going on that the Tusha Rebbe, in his classic style, he has the asterisks and little dots, which then bring these ideas more into our personal lives, so which is the next page in Source 18 through Source 23, which I want to make mention. He says, once we're talking about bringing Hashem into our lives, and obviously the correlation in our parsha is the Machlos Asuros, he says, one has to also be careful of many different things to make sure that God can become a part of your life. It's not just, okay, here's a, you know, guarantee, you're careful about what you eat, you have God in your life. No, that's one of the major blockages, but a person has to work on kum vaseh, proactively things to bring a Kodesh Baruch Hu in their lives and making sure not to push Hashem away. So the two things that he speaks about is one is source number 19. Tzarich adam lamid yesodo beito b'derech zeh sheyesh sham makom muchan l'ashrat shchinato yitbarach. You have to make sure that your house is one of spiritual value. And that is the focus of how do you live a life for yourself, for your children, of what is your focus in your life. Is it just materialistic values or is it spiritual values? Are the spiritual foundations really the core foundations in a person's life? And he says at the end of 19, if the focus of your life is the physical world, that all you can think about is how much money you can make, and all you can think about is food and a good night's sleep, and you go to sleep with the news and you wake up with the news, which again is, this is v'nyanim elu heim rosh v'rishon etzlo b'chol anagotav u'vanagat beito, that all you can think about is what's going on in the physical world and your focus is not spiritual ones, then on some level you are pushing away that light from coming in. Because again, ki'en adam darim nachash b'kfifa achat, you can't live, right, with both. We're not saying there's anything wrong in listening to the news. Listen carefully what he's saying. He's saying is, if this is the way you go to sleep at night and the way you wake up in the morning, that's an example of how your whole day is focused in on that. That's why we say, you know, Adon Olam before we go to sleep, Adon Olam when we wake up, to say our focus is, B'yadov kibruchi beit yishan v'ayira, right? That the whole focus is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Likewise, he says, the other thing that we have to be careful about is Midos Rosh. That another thing that ensures that Hashem should dwell among us and or pushes Hashem away is bad Midos. If a person is always going to be quick and hot-tempered and not patient and not judging people for the benefit of the doubt, So, and, you know, everything gets them angry, so then is it any wonder that this is the way their kids are going to be raised? And he says, you take a look at our society, where chutzpah is, you know, primary. He says, you almost wonder, where are kids learning this chutzpah from? It's a good question, right? They're picking it from the street. But if the kids see that at home something bothers them, or someone says something that angers them, do they first hold it? Are they able to process it? Are they, their immediate response is, you know, whoa, this person is, like, how are you able to take when somebody says something challenging to you? How are you able to process it? A person has to be very careful to be able to have hashgacha, to be able to watch what comes into his home, both in terms of food, both in terms of what our focus is, and both in terms of our mitos, what we're modeling for ourselves and for those around us. This ability to look inward, this ability to take ownership, this ability to be able to realize that we have made a mistake, that's the deeper understanding of the joy of Klal Yisrael at this moment. And that is found, the Tiva Torah brings Chazal, Rashi, who says, Moshe Rabbeinu blessed them that Hashem's presence should be found in what they do. Because all 7 days of the inauguration process, Moshe Rabbeinu served as a Kohen Gadol, built it and took it down. There wasn't any sign of divine presence. Vayu Yisrael nichlamim v'omrim l'Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu. Klal Yisrael were almost embarrassed, and they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, all this work we put in, shetishrei shechina beinenu, that the shechina should come down, v'neidash, and yikaper lano avona egel, and that we've been forgiven, we see that it's not happening. We feel that we are responsible because, you know, we're the ones who pushed Hashem away. And says the Tiva Torah on this. This is it. V'lachem berchem berkat shetishrei shechina b'seyadechem. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu blessed him with this bracha. Ki rak ha'idei sh'Yisrael hitbayishu ma'or. It was exactly this busha. It was this feeling of embarrassment. B'ma shelo zachu la'ashra'at kavod ha'shechina, where they took personal responsibility. And they said, it's because of us. We realize all 7 days it hasn't come down. Beginning of the 8th day, it hasn't come down. It's because of us. We've sinned. And there was such a deep desire to see the Hashem's presence coming down. It was that desire. It was that feeling. Like we're not worthy. That's what brought the simcha. That's what brought the shira. This wasn't just a revelation of godliness. It was much deeper than that. This was the stamp of approval that Hashem had forgiven them. That's the simcha here. That's what's unique here. And that's what Klal Yisrael are celebrating. On this, the Tzitzal Yom brings Ramosha salvation. And he says, Ech Zochim in 25 in the arrow. How do you bring... How are you, Zochel, Ashras, Ashchina? We see from here. What is the sign to bring the divine presence down? Rakim kol echad choshev shashama hi shelo. When everyone takes personal responsibility and says it's because of me, because of my sin, we don't have the Shechina. Aaron takes responsibility. The people take responsibility. Where everyone's saying, you know, it's because of what we've done. We haven't done a full tshuva. That's why the Shechina's not coming down. And he says, this is true of a chasan and kala, who want to bring a mikdash ma'at, who want to bring the Shechina into their homes. So richladat, they have to realize, shim nekuda mabato shekol echad tiyeh klapei atzmo. Shim kore mashu lo na'im itle kol echad mehem et hashama ba'atzmo v'lo buvet zugo. That this is the secret of bringing the Shechina down into your home. When something goes wrong, instead of blaming your spouse, take responsibility. I must not have explained it too well what my needs were, or whatever it is. But look inward. Don't always blame the other person. That's how you're going to have Hashras Shechina. And we know that in generally in our lives, in the bracket, when a person sees that they're not being matzliach, they're not being successful in something that they do, miyad yitla davar me'atzmo, sheken kol chayav chayu b'chashishut, ulai eino kiyem kishleimut et hatafkid shelav nitmanat ba'olamo. A person has to do this throughout their lives. Instead of pointing a finger, take responsibility. Why isn't something happened? Not because of, but because of me. I have to be able to work on this. And then Siva Shalom echoes this idea. And he says, it's dafka because of this busha. It's dafka because of this feeling of inadequacy. It's dafka because of this feeling of taking personal responsibility. That was the core of Klal Yisrael's tshuva. And he says, Haderech shel Kashir Yudio say Bevodara Shemit Barachu Mitaleh Masiga Sagdov Begadurabo, right? That's one way of coming close to Hashem, is realizing the greatness of Hashem. Vadera shall shiflut atzmo, and there's another way, and that's seeing the smallness of us, which is the way after sin. When a person is nafal mimadregato, v'shuvei no musugal lo siga madrega shel gadlus habore, when we feel like, oh, I can't believe I did this, then Hashem gives us this opening called Shuva. Shivnet atzmo mito shiflus atzmo b'vchina mizbeach evneh b'shivro levavi, to build yourself up through, specifically through the brokenness. And that's something so important to understand here. This is a model for us, chayidei habusha b'shivro levavi, the double underline, mitoch hakara b'shiflut atzmo, that zachul ashrat ha-shchina. You know, sometimes we say, ah, I wish that my home would be a home of Kedusha. I wish my life would be a life of Kedusha. But how can it be? I've sinned so much. I'm so broken. I'm so not holding. When you say that, then you have an opening to bring the Shekhinah down. When you start complaining, well, this problem, and this person has a problem, and this, then there's no way you can create that opening. But it's the brokenness itself. It's a very famous idea in the Siva Shalom, that kusta dechayusa, when the seed rots and then sprouts. It's that rotting stage. It's that stage of saying, I can't believe I did this. I can't believe, you know, I'm responsible. And you're able to really feel that angst that Klal Yisrael felt. We are responsible. We didn't, you know, the Shekhinah didn't come down because of our sin. When a person feels that in itself, Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, that's how you're able to build a Mishkan for Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's that ability to see our fallings, our failings, and our downside. That is what is going to be able to create greatness. So that's, my friends, idea number two. Idea number one, it was a fusion of chesed and gvura, tiferet. It's a fire that consumes, but with love. And the second idea, what was so special that they cried and fell on their faces? What was so special was that Hashem forgave them for their sin. And this forgiveness of the sin in itself, their desire to be forgiven, is what brought down that Ashrat HaShchinah. And when they saw Hashem coming down, they had complete bittul. They fell on their faces was a reaction, a real realization that it's not about them. That it's only Hashem in this world. And that's like the ultimate tshuva, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yochi Ba'olamo. He is unique in his world. And this is a model for us to recognize in our own lives, that when we go through challenges in life and we're broken and we say to ourselves, well, how can we possibly have Hashras HaShchinah in the brokenness? The answer is specifically in the brokenness. The Rina, the joy of the Jewish people, was the joy of falling and being able to get up. And that is encouragement for us, that this is being able to see what we've done wrong instead of breaking us, that brokenness can create wholeness. And on this second level, the connection between this and the Machlos Asuros are clear, that the way to bring a Kadosh Baruch Hu down into our lives is to ensure that we are people of holiness, we are people of Kedusha, and that revolves specifically in the areas of eating. Because what we eat becomes part of our blood, which becomes part of what allows us to function and become who we are. Now let's take a look at the third aspect, which is, again, dovetails the second. We'll start with the Torah Svi, Rasvi Kushalevsky Shlita. This was the day the Mishkan was set up permanently and inaugurated. The Torah uses Vayehi here as an introductory word. As we shall see, this little word hints at levels of depth regarding the purpose of the Mishkan. The Ma'arav writes that the Mishkan was a creation in and of itself. Just as the world was created in 7 days, says the Ma'arav, the Mishkan was a further stage in creation. It was the eighth day of creation, Vahibash Yomashmini. It was the final day of creation, and as such was the higher level which completed the creation of the world. This is why the Mishkan teaches us that the Mishkan is equal to the creation of the world. Both the description of the creation of the world and the Mishkan use the word Vayhi. This is what the Gemara means when it says the hooks of the Mishkan appear like the stars in the sky, and the Mishkan itself was like the creations of heaven and the earth. Maral is telling us that the world was created in 7 days, but completed only on the eighth day. That eighth day took several generations to arrive, but it did when the Mishkan was completed. So now we understand that what's going on here is much deeper than just expiation of sin. What's going on here, Vayehi Bayom HaShmini, this eighth day, is a culmination. It's a day that the world was waiting for literally thousands of years. The Or Gedaliah, source number 31. Vayehi bayom hashmini matoma lomar vayehi milamei shaita simcha lifnav b'marom kiyom shenivrabo shamayim v'aret. Hence we understand that the simcha, the joy of this day, was likened to the joy of the creation of the world. Because here it's about Yehi Kvod Hashem LaOlam, Yismach Hashem B'Masav. Here's the joy of the completion of His creation. This is the time when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is able, that was His vision, to be able to dwell the Shechina among the people. So this was the vision that Hashem had when creating the world, the actualization. This vision coming into fruition only happened on the eighth day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina is found among Klal Yisrael. U'kemo sh'ayta simcha b'alyonim, kein ayta simcha b'tachtonim. That's the joy that the Jewish people are experiencing here. Didn't they have many other experiences of seeing Hashem? Yes. The vayaronu, the rina here, the joy, is a joy that's mirroring the joy in Shemayim. The Rina here is Ranu Tzadikim BaHashem LaYisharim Navatila. It's this glory of Hashem. It's this feeling that Hashem has finally finished the creation of the world. This is the Simcha of Yismachu Shemayim V'Sagela Aretz. Not only is there joy in heaven, there's joy down here in this world. It's the joy of the reunification of heaven and earth, of God and His people, God in the world, and hence the people are rejoicing. I'll just make mention here before taking this one step further. The Sichos Musar, Lekin Sichos Musar, Slobodka Rech Yeshiva, quoted by Chochman Matzpun, points out that we have such a misunderstanding of Golos and Geulah, 33 and 34. We think Golos means that we're not in our homeland, and Geulah means that we're back in our homeland. And that's a very narrow vision. Geulah is, and this is the Ramban at the beginning of Sefer Shemot, Geulah is when we have the Shekhinah back on our presence. And he says that's why the final Geulah of Klal Yisrael, redemption, wasn't when we got out of Egypt. It's when v'lakachti li la'am, when Hashem took us as a people, and the culmination, that's why the book of Shemot ends with Hashem's presence resting. It's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is back connected to the people, like the Shechina that was found on the 10th of the Avos and the Imahos. That connection to Hashem is primary. And that's what we have to understand. That Vayotzei Tamo Yisrael Mitocham L'Cheirus Olam. At the end of 33, Moshe Rabbeinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu, took us out of Mitzrayim L'Cheirus Olam. We're eternally free. Because even when we go into Golos, Shechina Imahim, Hashem's presence is with us. And he says that, yes, there's a lot of Hester Panim, there's a lot of concealment, and our job really is to be able to access that understanding that Hashem is with us. enough to be able to push through all of the blockages, all of the concealment, and to be able to connect to that understanding, that core of this experience of Hashem coming down, albeit we've had Churban, we've had destruction of the temple, but that innate connection and closeness to Hashem is continuous throughout all the generations. Now, let's take this idea of the Rina of this Shira one step further. The Ish Tamid Rav Druk the following. Reva'er ki mashna mar vayar ha'am vayaronu. Hu shamru Shira. They sang Shira. Targum Onkelos translates v'shabchu l'shon sheva. They praised Hashem. Targum Yonasan hodah. They gave thanks to Hashem. The idea here is they sang praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when the fire came down. Why was this a time to sing Shira? So he quotes here the idea of the Griz by Kapitel Tzadik Beis of Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. This was the Kapitel that Adam Rishon sent when in honor of Shabbos. So the obvious question is, you take a look at this Kapitel of Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, and aside from that one word, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos has nothing to do with Shabbos. Tov lo do l'Hashem, it's good to give thanks to Hashem. And it talks about the creation, talks about Tzadik V'Ralo, Rasha V'Tovlo, it talks about many things, but it doesn't talk about Shabbos. So what's the connection between the two? So he says in Source 36, Maran HaGriz Zatzal Bi'er, Ki Yisodil Shemizmor Zeh Yishevech V'Odal Bria Kula. What this mizmor is to thank Hashem for the entire creation. Anytime you have a newness in creation, it's time to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have Yotzer Ma'aros, Mariv Aravi, right? You have thunder, you say the Baruch of Oseh Ma'aseh Bereishis. So when Adam HaRishon now is seeing the entire Bria Shlema Mechudeshe, he's thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The idea of Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos is the idea of focusing and on being able to thank Hashem for the creation. Shabbos was a time to be able to step back and be able to see the entirety of the created world, right? That's why Shabbos, we have HaKol Yoducha, HaKol Yishapchucha, Sazifte Chaim. The word HaKol, the all-inclusive nature of what Shabbos is about, that's what this kapitel is about. To be able to see, Tov La'odos Hashem, it's good to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be able to see all that Hashem has created, and to be able to appreciate all that He's done. And this is the Binyanav. Magad u'masecha Hashem od amku machshvosecha. How great are your works, Hashem? How deep are your mindsets? It's not just about Shabbos. It's about seeing the creation in its entirety. Being able to see a whole picture is time to sing Shira. Pizeh yuvnu etev in 37 divrei chazal v'taras kohani. Kevan shirash ra'u eish chadasha she'erda mishmei maro. Now, when Klai Yisrael see this fire coming down, Chazal Madgishim Shiru Eish Chadasha, they saw a new fire. They saw a new dimension of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They saw Hidchashus Asuma Babriya Shalom Nireh Kadumata Od. They saw an aspect of creation that they hadn't seen until now. And as we saw, what they're really seeing is the completion of what the world was about. It's really a recreation of the world. So why are Klai Yisrael singing Shira like why Adam Rishon sang Shira? They're singing Shira when you see a certain stage of completion, when you see certain something new in the world, in the Bria, in the creation of Hashem, the Osa Ma'aseh Bereishis. Here they're not just seeing that Hashem forgave them for the sin. That is a reason for Shira. It's a reason of connection. But it's much deeper than that. Now they see that the world has come to a different place. They're able to see, which they didn't see at Kriyas Yam Sof, was a momentary vision. The Mamad Har Sinai was a momentary vision. But here, it's not just about a vision. It's about a new world. It's a new world order. They sing Shira because now they see that the world has come into completion. It's very interesting, just to take this idea one step deeper. Sefer Mimamakim, when it talks about Shiras Hayam, says, what does the word Shira mean? So we look at the word Shira, that it means song. But there is a deeper understanding of the word Shira, and that is that Shira is a tachshit, is a type of jewelry, a tzamid, like a bracelet, which is something that's round, like the unkelos on Shnei Tzmidim al Yadaha, that by Rivka Imenu, he put two bracelets on her hand, Vitarin Shirin al Yadah. He put Trin to Shirin. Again, Shirin being bracelets, Shirin being something that's a jewelry that's round. So he says, this helps us explain as well the roundness of it, why a wall is called a shur, Ale Shur by Yosef Atzadi. The shur, the choma, is something that's round. That idea of shira is round. What is this on a deeper level? So he says, what is something that's round about? A ma'agal morel b'chinat hanikreit na'ut sofo b'tchilatam. A circle. The farther you get from the top, the closer you get back to the top. Unlike a line, which goes on for infinity, a circle comes back to where it began. The end point meets the original point. And that, he says, b'makbil l'zeh kasher na'im b'tzurah shel igul etrachut m'nikudat ha'sharesh, moving farther away from the source of origin, m'karevet b'atzmel n'kudat ha'motza, is in itself moving you to the end. V'omnam zeh utochen inyan ha'magal l'arot, k'etzad kol ha'pratim m'tzarfim chazara l'megama rishona. The point of a circle is to be able to see how everything fits into one complete idea. And that is why a song is this very idea. The song is about being able to see a vision and now being able to see that the vision has been accomplished. And that explains on a much deeper level the Shira here. Vayaronu Ha'am, the people singing Rina Shira, is because now the original creation, which has moved away from that original view of creation, has now come back full circle to the way Hashem has envisioned it. It's now the perfected world where Hashem resides among the people, and hence it's appropriate now that the circle is closed. It's really obviously a spiral, but in our imagery the circle is closed, and now it's an appropriate time to sing Shira. If we appreciate this, my friends, so now we can appreciate, says the Mikdash HaLevit, that Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ad Shelo Hukam HaMishkan, Haru HaMaziki Mitgarin Ba'olam Labrios, Umishukam Mishkan, Shishara Shechina Lamata, Kulo Maziki Min HaOlam. That the Kalu Mazikim, the negative forces, now that Hashem has come down, have been destroyed from this world. Because Kibayom HaShmini, on this day, Lo Rak in the asterisk of 39, Nechanecha Mishkan, not only was the Mishkan inaugurated, but it was El Shaitan Mishum Briya Chadasha. It was like a new type of creation. Shinui Maltim Minago Sholam, something unique, something distinct happened in this world. And as he mentions here, Ulam Lorak, Shekain Hayom Azayagam, Bivchina Mitsuyaman Hayom Ashmini, Lashiva Shime Briya Sholam. We mentioned it was the eighth day, eighth Tawar, so 7 days of creation. Because she came to Yom Zeh, Gio Lavel Tikuno, the world came to its perfection. Vitchachabo Mitzios, Oshaloi Tad Hena, there was a newness in this world that didn't exist until now. It doesn't look like the world was different, but there was a new order in this world. Vahiba Yom Ashmini, the eighth day, to the 7 days of creation. Valkein Rak Lachar Hayom Zeh, that's why only now do we have the laws of Machlos Asuros. Why? Shekein adata teva olam hayashafel yoter v'lo yamakom lefchano ruchani me'enelu. The being careful what to eat is a certain type of spiritual sensitivity. The world wasn't ready for such a finer kite in this level. Only rak lachar hayom hashmini bo hushlama tavni briyasa olam v'romutan yirtzei. Only now, when the world has come to its completion, we're able to make these distinctions between tuma and tara, purity and impurity, what one can eat, what one can't eat. And to recognize this, so when we're careful about food, instead of feeling like, oh no, I have to check this, say, wow, this is a higher level of consciousness, a higher level of connection. We only were able to reach this on the eighth day. It took thousands of years to be able to reach this level. How fortunate, Ashreinu, that we are, that we live in a world and we, the Jewish people, are holy, that have the ability to be able to be so sensitive to the little creepy, crawly things that you can barely see. That shows our elevated status. And this day, which brought an elevated status to the world, was only now. Kodesh Baruch Hu, teach us about this. Final idea for today. But we have to keep in mind that both on the second level, that this was a time that the Jewish people yearned to be forgiven for their sin. And on the third level, that this was a day of the joy of the recreation of the world. This was the joy of the day where the people understood that this reached the pinnacle and the purpose of creation. That this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu envisioned. The joy was the joy of Shira, of coming full circle back to the creation of the world. On both levels, the Shechina was unable to come down until the people utilized tefillah. Rashi tells us that Aaron was sure that his involvement in the making of the golden calf was preventing it. Whereupon he and Moshe entered the Mishkan and davened, causing the Shechina to descend. This incident carries a lesson that applies to each of us on a daily basis. B'nai Israel spent many days and months building the Mishkan and crafting its vessels. And after the construction was complete, the Kohanim spent 8 consecutive days inaugurating it. Yet they were not successful in these lofty endeavors until their actions were accompanied by tefillah. Likewise, even when we toil greatly and invest much effort in our spiritual growth, our voda must be accomplished accompanied by tefillah. In this vein, the Chazon Ish said that on certain days he toiled more in his tefillah than he did in his Torah study. And Rabbi Yonasan Ibitz, who was known as a genius, wrote that he found that on days when he dabbled with Kavanah, he succeeded in his learning. He writes, therefore, do not say that one person is greater than another because of his intelligence or was some wisdom and understanding. This is not the case. It's falsehood. Rather, it's a gift from Hashem. When one anticipates his abundant goodness and compassion by means of abundant prayer and pleading, there's nothing that grants a person proper understanding, helps decipher difficulties, like a tearful tefillah, that he have compassion. For Hashem listens to all those who call out to him truthfully, which then links together all the ideas that we saw today, that our tefillah has to be with an ema and a yira, it has to be with a certain awe and trepidation, and at the same time with the joy of being able to communicate with Hashem. When we sin, part of our tshuva process, and hence the vidui, is always part of tefillah. It's in the silent Shemoneh Esrei, it's in the repetition of Shemoneh Esrei, because vidui, forgiveness, tshuva in our davening every day, Shlach Lanu Avinu, Ashivenu Avinu, tshuva and tefillah go hand in hand. And also when we want to be able to bring Hashem into our lives, we want to have the consciousness of this higher level of being able to push away that feeling of distance from Hashem, and we want to be able to connect with Hashem. We want to feel Bilvavi Mishkan Efne. The medium to do so has to be tefillah. Tefillah is the key, the bedrock on which all of our Yiddishkeit stands.